Well, this is kind of a sad story, somewhat, because you can tell Hezekiah goofed up here a little bit. Well, because the word of the Lord that comes to him is revealed that, it's revealed that he revealed too much is what happens here. And, well, our first week we talked about, Hezekiah's reforms and, all that he did in his time. In his time, idolatry was great. Israel, more particularly Judah, had turned aside from serving the Lord and had turned to idols. And in fact, the idols of the people that were there before them. And that was exactly what God said, don't do that. If you turn to this idolatry, then I will put the plagues of this land upon you and these people upon you. And so Hezekiah's reign started out really well. He started a reform, did great reform in the land, and tore down all the high places and the altars to Baal and worship to Ashtaroth and all of these different false gods. And so that's the first week we studied these reforms that Hezekiah did. Then Rabshakeh came on the scene. Week number two, we studied about Rabshakeh, and he was a messenger sent from his king saying, we're going to plunder you. We're going to take you away to our land like we've done with all the other cities. You shouldn't resist. Just give up now. And a letter, a railing letter was given to Hezekiah against both his nation and his God. He laid that before the Lord, and the Lord fought his battle. And then last week we looked at, just right after that battle, Hezekiah gets sick. And he doesn't give up, though. He's persistent. And he speaks to the Lord and says, I've done well in my time. I've walked uprightly before you. Don't cut my life short. And the Lord changes his calendar for Hezekiah. Says, okay, we'll put this off for another 15 years. And God honored Hezekiah's request, his fervent request, with tears as he turned his face to the wall and cried out to the Lord. God listens when we cry out to him, I think, is the main lesson we have. Now, in this last week, what lesson will we learn about Hezekiah? Hezekiah the Resigned. That's what our title is going to be today. And David, if you could take the, writing on the graph with the graphite. Well, not exactly, huh? Hezekiah the resigned. Our character trait I wrote up here is peace, an ability to acquiesce in God's final decisions. That's really important because God's in charge. He always has been in charge. And the sooner that we can understand that and learn how to live our lives in such a way that we honor his position, his authority, his commandments, the word of the Lord, the better we'll do. And really, it's not a compromise because God's word is perfect and true and righteous. If we follow his way, we will prosper. It doesn't make sense to go a different direction. It doesn't make sense. We may think it makes sense that we know better a different direction to take than God has laid out, but there really is no better direction. Think of the shepherd and his sheep and how the shepherd knows the right pasture to send his sheep to. He leads them in the paths of righteousness, as it says, for his name's sake. He leads them by still waters so that they can digest that food that they just, that nice green pasture that they just chewed up. They have to find a nice, quiet stream so that they can take in some water and then lie down and rest. And the Lord's plan is perfect. Sometimes we think we know where greener pastures are. We know where better waters are. We know where a better place to rest is. The truth of the matter is, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, as the scripture says. And that's not wisdom. Wisdom is seeing things from God's perspective. To be able to put aside our own thoughts and have this quality of peace in our hearts. And that is an ability to acquiesce, to give way, to allow the Lord's will to be worked in our life. And if we can learn that at an early age, we will do well. If we learn that at any time in our life, we will do well. The Lord is willing to work with us wherever we're at. As long as there's breath, there's hope. We can change. That's God's way of looking at it. He doesn't give up on us. And so we shouldn't give up on Him either. We should keep looking to Him and trust in Him. Well, our first point today is the title of the number one here is the prestigious visitors. The prestigious visitors. Why are they prestigious? Well, because they're the rave of the time. The Babylonians are the rising empire at the end of Hezekiah's life. It was the Assyrians that were this main power. Now Babylon is becoming this big power. And they visit Hezekiah. They heard that he was sick. And they sent off letters and a present. You know, when you get that unexpected present, maybe it comes in the mail, maybe somebody drives up your driveway, or maybe you just find it somewhere that you're not expecting. How neat of a thing that is. I think that's kind of what was happening here with Hezekiah. But more so that it came from a prestigious place. Ooh, the Babylonian king is thinking about me and wishes me well. He's heard that I'm sick, and he's written to me, and he's given me a present. Well, you ever heard that phrase, flattery is not a good thing? Well, I don't have the phrase perfectly. And I've heard flattery will get you nowhere, and then I've heard the corruption of that. Flattery will get you everywhere. So I've heard it both ways. But the idea there is that, I think Hezekiah was flattered by this prestigious Babylonian king and the letters and the present. He probably blushed a little bit, maybe even. He opened the present. Oh, the king of Babylon has given me a present, you know. So I think this kind of like just, you know, built him up a little bit and maybe caused his eyes to get off the Lord for a little bit. He's thinking too much about the king of Babylon. And that's kind of the way that trouble gets into our life, is it usually doesn't come on a straight onslaught where we turn from the Lord and say, I'm not going to follow the Lord. It usually doesn't work that. It usually works through this kind of a subtle means where we get our eyes taken off by something that looks good, a greener pasture or some kind of thing like that. And all of a sudden we start going down that path and we kind of forget about keeping our eyes on the Lord and following His ways. I think this is what's happened to Hezekiah. He was flattered. So that is our first sub-point here. Flattered by the king of Babylon with letters and a present. What does Hezekiah do? He invites them to his town. Well, it's kind of like he wants to return the favor. Well, you've been so nice to me. Why don't you just come and visit my place? I'd like to show you the town. And no reason we can't be friends. You've befriended me. I'd like to return the favor. And so this is this part of this whole process of flattery. Well, our next point comes quickly then upon the visit is Hezekiah makes full disclosure. You know that scripture that Jesus said Don't cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them. Sometimes it's hard to tell who the swine are, though. And sometimes we'll cast our pearls out, thinking that it's safe to disclose something and tell them something of our life, and then turn around and find no sooner have we done that, that they're being trampled. They're being pushed into the ground. And we didn't expect that process, but if you've been a human being, like I have, it's happened more than once, I'm sure, to you, where you've regretted that you've done something or you've shared something and you wish that you just hadn't done that. I think that's probably what's happened here, is Hezekiah has given full disclosure. What is the full disclosure that he's done? Well, he brings the king of Babylon and his princes, or at least his princes, into the temple and shows them all the precious things of the temple. And there's nothing that he doesn't disclose to those royalties of Babylon. They've seen it all. They've seen every rich and every good thing that's in Jerusalem. And our final subpoint on this one is, he's found out. He's found out because they were taking notes. They came in with a different purpose, and that was to understand Hezekiah's kingdom, because they're thinking down the line that they're going to take the whole area over. There's not going to be one place that's going to be a dominion that's not under the dominion of Babylon. So the princes have their eyes open, their tablets in their hand, their pens, and they're writing little notes. They're writing little notes about Hezekiah's tunnel that he made. They're writing notes about where their water source comes from. They're taking notes on where the weakest point of the wall is. They're looking and they're seeking an advantage against Hezekiah. Ooh, that's why that phrase says flattery will get you nowhere, because oftentimes there's an ulterior motive for the flattery. Why will they build you up only to tear you down at some time later, to take advantage of you at some point in the future? Here is, in truth, what Babylon's motive was. Let's move to our second point, the price. The price. There's a reaction, there's an action, and there's a reaction in life. For everything that we do, there's something that we put into something, there's something that we get out of it. Whatever we sow, that shall we reap, as Paul speaks in the Galatians. Don't you know that God will hold you accountable for whatever you do? There will be an outcome from that. And this is what this phrase, the price, is about. There's going to be a price paid for what happened on that day. There's an inquiry for our first subpoint. And Isaiah makes the inquiry. And as it says in the scripture, then came Isaiah the prophet unto King Hezekiah and said unto him, what said these men, and from whence came they unto thee? So there's this inquiry, and God oftentimes will come in the form of a question. Sometimes he won't just dole out a judgment, but he'll make us think. That's a thing that I really am glad for, that God is this way, because he's interested in engaging us. He's interested in making us think and making us contemplate. So God sends Isaiah with an inquiry to begin. What is it that you've done? Tell me, what did they find out? So, first of all, there's this inquiry, and there's an issue that's revealed. We've already talked about the issue because Hezekiah responds. Then said he, what have they seen? Then said he, what have they seen in thine house? And Hezekiah answered, all that is in mine house have they seen. There's nothing among my treasures that I have not showed them. So there's this response from Hezekiah to Isaiah that I've revealed all to them, and there's an issue with this. Isaiah's response, behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord. So this is the issue. The issue is that he has cast his pearls out there. He's revealed too much to another power. He's turned his eyes away from the Lord. That's really the issue. It's a matter of the heart that he has divulged too much to this king of Babylon. He should have been set on guard. He should have been careful. He should have been polite with the king of Babylon. Maybe the polite thing would have been to just send a letter back and say, thank you for your present. It's nice that you have thought of me. And sent back a nice little letter saying, showing an appreciation. But instead he invited them over and said, well, I'd like to just give you a little tour. You know, since you think so highly of us, I'd like to divulge a little bit more about you. That's really the issue, is he's revealed too much. He's made too much of an alliance with Babylon. He's thought of them too much like himself and like his people. And he's got to remember that he is a king of a kingdom and that he needs to be responsible for his kingdom. It's the same way, fathers, how we have to be careful with our families, not to put them into a position where something is going to be compromised. There's all sorts of different ways that compromise can happen, all sorts of different ways that we can be plundered in our days. And so as fathers, we need to be careful and discreet and figure out the right ways to do things. For us, one of the things that with our six children, we really had two groups of three, two different, an older set of three and a younger set of three. And the issue oftentimes came up and still does come up somewhat. Well, can we go over to the neighbor's house and play? And for a Christian, that's a troublesome thing because I don't know what's going on in that household. Is there alcohol? Is there pornography? Is there bitterness? Is there fighting? Is there lying? I've spent all this time working on these character qualities that I want to build up in my children. And one visit to another household that I don't know could plant a seed that could take root in my children for the rest of their life. And so I had to come up with another way. Well, that's fine. You can play with these people, but have them come over to our place or play in our yard. We have a nice yard. We have lots of things you can do. And so this was the way that pretty much that we deal with playing with the neighbors. And we seek to evangelize. And my children will oftentimes share with the children about Jesus and God. But there's this real, there needs to be caution when we deal with people outside of our realm and our jurisdiction. This is the issue that Hezekiah had, that he didn't have wisdom here to protect his land from this foreign king. That's really the issue. And the ill fate is that Isaiah spoke, they will come, they'll carry everything away. They will plunder your goods. They will carry your sons away. That's the issue. There will be results for what has happened here today. Hezekiah is basically the message that God is giving. Let's move to our final point then. Final point is the praise. So we have these prestigious visitors that come. They flatter Hezekiah. He gives them full disclosure. He wants to send them on a little visit, show them all the good things, see how good God is. I really think probably Hezekiah's motives were, I don't think they were impure. I just think there wasn't wisdom in what he did. He probably wanted to show them how good God is. He probably even told them, well, the Lord has given me 15 more years. And so, but he's found out. And there's a price to pay. God approaches him with a question, kind of like he did with Adam. Adam, where are you? Starts with a question, and then the dialogue starts. And then the issue. He really hasn't protected his jurisdiction, and there's an ill fate that takes place. The praise. We see this in the text. We see this in the memory verse. Then said Hezekiah to Isaiah, good is the word of the Lord which thou hast spoken. There's a praise there. There's not a bitterness. I think this is a really good character quality. Sometimes we may think that Hezekiah was a little self-centered in his thinking, that I don't really care what happens to my sons. Things will be good in my time. I don't know if that was necessarily Hezekiah's attitude here. He praised the Lord. He blessed the Lord. Hezekiah blesses the Lord. And so that's our first point there. My first subpoint is, where's the fight? Where's the fight? What do I mean by this? Well, just last week he had some real fight for his life, didn't he? The word of the Lord came and said, set your house in order, for you shall die. It came from the prophet Isaiah. It was the word of the Lord. And yet Hezekiah didn't accept it. He turned his face to the wall and cried out to the Lord. His persistence was known there. And there was a kind of a fight there to not give up. And so here we are now in this chapter of Hezekiah's life. Where's the fight? Why doesn't Hezekiah say, no, don't do this, and seek to change God's plan like he did for him just last week in what we studied? Why doesn't Hezekiah try to do this? Well, that will bring us to our second subpoint, warnings. Warnings. Remember that Israel was a special and a peculiar people that God had among all the nations, picked this nation out, led them out of bondage in Egypt, fed them in the wilderness, gave them his own laws and his own commandments to live by, and fed them that daily bread and kept them watered even in the desert. He kept their clothes from rotting, it says, for the 40 years that they were in the wilderness. They didn't have to make new clothes because God had that special provision that he would keep their clothing, even their clothing, from rotting. So all of these things, this God Almighty, this great God, is doing for this people. And he says, when you go into this land, I'm routing out these people because their iniquity has come up to my throne. And I'm going to wipe them out through you. you are going to go city by city and you're going to completely destroy these nations. You're not going to leave anything there. There's going to be, and then you're going to go in and inhabit and possess these places as my godly people, as my special godly and chosen people. You'll be a nation peculiar and different from all the other nations. You'll be like a light that's set on a hill. You will be the example to the world of that there is a living God and there's a special and a peculiar way of life that people will fear and actually will be drawn to. And like the queen that came up to Solomon and saw how everything that he did was right. Everything, and it said that her heart just melted. There was no strength left in her. She said, "It is more than I have expected. How good and how well this kingdom is beyond anything I've seen." This is the goal, I believe, that God had for Israel. Yet, as you look through the scriptures, you look through the kings, and as you look through the books of Judges, and you read the story of the Old Testament, you see that decade after decade, they turned away from the Lord. They turned to idols. They forgot God. God would send trouble into the land. They would bow and they would pray unto God and say, "Please deliver us." And God then would turn again and deliver them and give them a new judge that would fight their battle and turn them back again to a nation that fears God and bring back the prosperity. So this cycle happened over and over and over again, all the time, really. After Joshua died, when Joshua came into the land and he gave them commandment to how they were to live, it says, once Joshua died, that they all did what was right in their own eyes. And this is the pattern that Israel was in while they were in that land, that promised land. So the warnings went out from prophet and through chastisement and through renewal. They had this continual thing coming from God saying, "Don't do that, don't do that, don't do that." It finally came to a point where their sin had become so bad that God said, "No, it's going to happen now. It's on my calendar. And I'm going to start working us to this day where you will be penalized. You will be drawn out of your land. You'll be carried away captive by another nation." And the nations will look and say, "This happened because they didn't seek the Lord, because they didn't seek God with all their heart, but they turned to idolatry." So there was a lesson here that God was, he didn't forsake them, but he put them into this penalty box. And so that's why we bring this point up about the warning. The warnings had happened through all of the reign of Israel in that promised land. And the time was up. The hourglass only had a few grains of sand left in it. And I believe that's why God was going to cut Hezekiah's life short. Not that he didn't dislike Hezekiah, but he wanted to get the righteous king out of there because he was going to rain this judgment on Judah. Same thing with Josiah. It's told that he would wait until Josiah was off the scene before this captivity took place. And so I think this is really what's behind all this. Where's the fight? Well, Hezekiah would be fighting against the very will of God to do this, not this judgment on Hezekiah, but this judgment on this whole land of Israel. His purpose here was not just woven around Hezekiah's life. This had to do with the land, the people of the land. Israel itself had to learn this lesson. And yeah, Hezekiah made a wrong step here, and it And it kind of went towards this whole thing. Isaiah then prophesies, this is what's going to happen in the future. Your sons are going to be carried away. All the riches are going to be carried away. The prophecy was not so much about him as it was about his kingdom and about his people and what they had done. So that's why I think there was this resignation on Hezekiah's part. This was bigger than him. This whole thing was bigger than him. It wasn't just about his sin. Yeah, he sinned in this situation. I think he acknowledges that. But I think he sees that this whole thing is not just about his little reign. It has to do with this whole stretch, this whole spectrum of Israel. So we have the where's the fight, the warnings, and then finally, the willing acceptance. The willing acceptance. Good is the word of the Lord. I think Hezekiah realizes how bad this idolatry was. He had to, because he had to stand against it in all his reforms. I think his heart was united with the Lord in seeing the wickedness and not loving the wickedness, hating this wickedness in the land. I think that's one of the reasons why he said, good is the word of the Lord. And even more so, because there will be peace in my time. He says, this won't happen in my days. The Lord is going to push it off just a little bit longer. This is a good thing. So I can understand Hezekiah's point. And it's not only good for him, but it's good for all of those that are in the kingdom as well, that there will be a little bit of time yet to come. Well, there we have it. Hezekiah the resigned. He was resigned for the right reason. There is a time for us to resign. There is a time for us to give way when the purpose is right and the word of the Lord is right and good. It's good for us to yield. It's not always good for us to put up our dukes and say, okay, I'm not going to budge. That's a stubbornness against the Lord. We need to fight the Lord's battles. We need to also realize when he says, no, we're going to go over to this pasture here. And we're going to feed on this land. We're going to go to this still waters. Okay, Lord, that wasn't my idea. I don't understand exactly. And that's oftentimes the way it is. We got our nose to the ground. We just see what's kind of in front of us. And we don't see from God's perspective the overall plan. Well, it's good for us to be resigned to the word of the Lord. So that's probably what I can leave with you here is that the closer that we get to God's heart and to God's mind, the easier it will be for us to resign to His will. If we don't understand His heart or His will, how can we resign to follow after Him? We must understand His heart. How do we understand His heart? But to read the stories and to meditate on His scripture. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, hast made me wiser than mine enemies. You see, that's where we get the wisdom, is by seeking the Lord, understanding His word, knowing His word.